Well, JP, one of the things that I would say we are most proud of in building the program that we are at Linmar is that at the end of my first 2 years here, we've had a losing season at 3-19. We've had a 500 season at 11-11. We're definitely building and making progress, but probably one of the most satisfying things is that during our exit interviews over the last 2 years, our kids have consistently said to a player, we just don't have any drama here. Like, we may not be as competitive as we want to be, but I've never been on a team like this where there just isn't drama. And when I think about the reasons why, I think one of the things that has played out well for us in our program is that we have been incredibly intentional about being transparent. And one of the ways that we do that is through this ladder conversation that we have at the start of our year. And we've actually talked a little bit about this in episode 72 of the podcast. You can go back and check it out. But we did our ladder conversation on Saturday morning with our team this year, and essentially we sit our players down, I write up on the whiteboard, here are the starting five, here are the next three that are going to rotate, here are the next two that are going to potentially rotate depending on the circumstance, and then here are the other players that are, you know, sort of in reserve roles waiting their turn if something were to falter in front of them. And then we go through and we talk about every single person's job, not necessarily the person, but the job of the starting point guard, the starting post, the starting wing players, the best defenders, the rotation players, the scout team players, etc. And the thing that we're trying to do, it's not always the most comfortable conversation because there are going to be players that are going to hear there's not a very high likelihood that they're going to play. And there's other players that are going to hear, man, you got a lot of responsibilities. I don't know if I'm ready to do all those things yet. But what we walk out of the room with is a sense of this is where we are to start the year. Now, the secret, I think, to preventing drama is not just in this conversation. It's what we do afterwards that we want to talk about this week on the podcast. And that is the four conversations that we have with every player as we go through the year to help support them in their role and prevent drama from blowing up our team.
Welcome to the Coaching Culture Podcast. I'm JP Nurbin alongside my co-host Nate Sanderson. And every week in 30 minutes or less, we're giving you transformational leadership tools and strategies. This podcast is brought to you by Thrive on Challenge, which provides mentorship for coaches to help them grow as a coach and build their culture. You can learn more at thriveonchallenge.com. You're listening to episode 115, The Four Conversations with Players to Prevent Unnecessary Drama. Now, Nate, in this episode, we are tackling probably the leading cause of drama within teams today. And that's not just with parents, that is with our players, and that is the issue and challenges around playing time and their role in the team and playing time. And when I talk with coaches as they get into, you know, to their first game of the season or even just later games of the season, one of the questions I always ask them is, does every player understand their role and do they know how many minutes they're likely to play in that game? And I ask that question, and one of the responses I often get is, yeah, I'm pretty sure everyone's got a good idea of that. And in my experience, when we say that, where we think that they have a good idea of it, we probably are wrong, because players have this unique ability to always be optimistic, especially going into the season or going into a game, of potentially how many minutes they expect to play. And so you have shown us a great, or you've shared with us a great activity to do with our team, which is the ladder conversation. And you know, as you went in more depth into it in episode 72, but you've kind of given us an outline here today of the value of transparency around playing time. That's a really big encouragement of mine to coaches, is we need to first off be transparent and have those hard conversations. My experience is most coaches, we shy away from those hard conversations with players, and there's a lot of reasons for that, but being transparent and getting it out there helps us to prevent problems that may arise in that game, where that those players are sitting there, they're festering on the bench, they're wondering why they're not as playing as much as they want, and that creates some drama just even on the bench and not having the support that we want. Now, being transparent is one thing, and giving them the hard truth is important, but after that, that is what you've talked about as the really big challenge, because they have to now embrace that role. They have to embrace and accept the fact that those minutes are the minutes they're going to play. One of the things that I've learned is that sometimes players just need to be able to air out what's going on. You have some incredible strategies around you know, supporting them and creating some dialogue with them and their teammates through these conversations. So why don't you start with the very first conversation you recommend or you guys actually use in your program to bring in some support here?
Well, you know, JP, even before we get to the first question or the first conversation that we have with players, you have to understand that I think a lot of times when coaches talk to a player about their role or about their playing time, we sort of lay it out. Here it is on the table. We make sure that they understand it. And then we walk away and we say, now it's your job to deal with this, even if it's not what you want. And the problem with that is that players today, kids today, and a lot of adults today are not fully equipped to be able to know how to handle disappointment or their frustration in a way that can still be productive for the team. And so based just on that idea, we've really tried to create a structure where we can help shape and frame how players are thinking about what's expected of them and what we're asking of them to do for the team. Now, the first conversation then that we have in following up with our ladder essentially is like in the second or third week of our season after this talk, we'll start meeting with our players one-on-one, and we have a series of questions where we just start to ask them about what they feel like they're doing well right now. Both as a player, we ask them on the court, what do you think you're doing well, offensively, defensively? And as a teammate, what do you think your biggest impact is right now on your teammates when you're with us in practice? And part of what we're trying to tease out there, again, is this idea that there's two ways to contribute to what we're doing on the floor. One is to be on the court and have a role as a player, but there's also value in your role on the bench or the energy that you're bringing or you're communicating to the person that plays your position on the floor or you're an extra set of eyes or your enthusiasm or whatever it might be, that those things are valued as much as what they do on the floor. And we make sure that we really try to communicate that with them and encourage them. This is what we see you doing well as a teammate and how your teammates are responding to what you're doing. We also kind of follow up with them with their summer grade, which is a whole nother conversation, but kind of their evaluation from the off season, where we see, you know, what they're doing well, how they help us. But really, this is just kind of an overview at the beginning to get to the question of what questions do you have for us about where you are at right now? And then we ask them, what do you enjoy most about your current role? And what is most challenging for you in your current role? And this is probably the most important thing that we get to in the conversation, which just allows them, number one, it encourages them to think about the positives, even if they're not playing as much as they want, or they're not starting and they want to, or they're not getting as many shots as somebody else. There is benefit, right, in the job that they have for our team. And so we're trying to steer their thinking into finding what is enjoyable about this role, and at the same time, giving them an opportunity to vent in a sense about what's challenging for them. And quite honestly, as we're having these conversations, some of those challenges are basketball related. Like our best defenders will say, well, geez, we have to guard Division I guards almost every night. That's a challenge. For other players, it may be a little more emotional. It may be with the expectations of what they had and they're disappointed, or what they expected and they're not getting it. And so we really leave it wide open to try to get them to talk about so that we can help them to be able to process whatever is their biggest challenge in their role.
So I know some coaches actually have some of these one-on-one conversations with players to sit down and explain their role. And I think one of the traps that we fall into is just trying to present some like objective data or some facts. Like, here is why you are not playing because of this, you know, and we've statted this in practice, or these are the things that we've seen. We try to come at it from a very objective point, and then just a rational argument, and then just have them deal with those facts, and they have to accept those facts. But what you have done in the one-on-one, the one-on-one conversation, I think the most powerful piece is the empathy piece, the listening to their struggles piece. And I think back to my time as a walk-on at the University of South Carolina when I was playing. Now, I had been a starter and a star all my life as a basketball player, and here I came to this situation, and I was living the dream, but I was at the end of the bench, right? I was the bottom of the barrel. I was number 13 on that roster. Now, that was actually not as easy as I thought it would be. Going into that situation, I thought, heck, if I could just make this team, life is going to be great. And because of that, because of my expectation as far as like, you know, it would be a great situation and I should just be happy to make the team, I actually never felt like I could articulate what was hard about that role to other people. You know, I definitely didn't feel like I could go talk to the coaches about it because they would have told me to take a walk. I definitely didn't feel like I wanted to talk to my teammates about it because I just felt like they wanted to understand, or I didn't want to be seem like I was ungrateful. And I really struggled to even articulate it with my family or my friends because I'm here, I'm like living this dream, and I felt like I had to put on this face that everything was going great. And I didn't know, I'm not even sure that I even understood my own feelings on it, like why I felt that way. And what you're doing is two things. When you're asking those questions about what's challenging about that role, is you're actually helping them to process what is challenging about that. I think a lot of times they're just frustrated, but they don't understand why they're frustrated or what's hard. And I think there's a great self-awareness part of that. And the second piece is, the biggest thing is you're allowing them just to feel heard. If there's anything that you can do in that conversation, just they feel heard, that you understand that this is not easy for them, and you're not just asking them to just deal with it.
Well, JP, that empathy piece kind of becomes the foundation for our second conversation that we'll do a little bit later in the season. So typically after we played 2, 3, 4 games, you know, getting for us closer to middle of December, we'll start having 2-on-1 conversations. So there's a coach and there's two players that will sit down together and we'll talk. And those pairs are very deliberately assigned. And typically what we try to do is take a younger player or a player that is in a new role and pair that person with somebody, an upperclassman typically, who has been in that role before. And so I bring both of them together and, you know, we're sitting in the bleachers or my office, whatever it might be. And our conversation starts with this. Can you explain to the other person what your current role is on the team? So this is, you know, again, we're a couple games into the year, and I'm just trying to make sure that they understand and can articulate what their role is as a player and what their role is as a teammate to each other, okay? And this is really more me facilitating a conversation between the two players than it is me participating that much. So when they explain their roles, then, again, we kind of come back to these two questions of, well, what have you enjoyed most about it? And what's been hardest for you in that role so far? And they're answering those questions for one another. But what's really interesting about what happens here is that by taking an upperclassman, let's take an example of a player for us that might be a sophomore that is dressing varsity. Maybe she's number 10, 11, 12, so might play, but probably not getting a lot of run at the varsity level. And so she's playing, you know, 2, 3 quarters of in the JV game before the varsity game, okay? That's not necessarily an easy place to be in where you're ping-pong back and forth in practice. There's some unknown about how much time you're going to get at the JV level and whether you're not you're going to be needed at the varsity level. And so to have somebody who's been in that place and be able to speak back and say, you know, when I was in that role a year ago, 2 years ago, this is what was hard for me, but this is what I got out of it, and this is how I got through it, is incredibly impactful for the player that's trying to navigate that role for the first time, because it communicates somebody else has been here. Not just somebody understands what it's like to be in my shoes. Somebody's walked in these shoes before me and is now coming back and asking me, how do they fit and how are you doing in them? And so just a good example of that, last year when we had one of these conversations, I remember a player that was in that swing role for us speaking back to somebody that was in the role now said, you know, the thing that I got out of that I never would have imagined at the beginning was I made so many new friends because I got to know everybody on the varsity team and I got to know everybody on the JV team. And when I looked at it at the end of the year, I realized I'm really the only player that got to know so many people so well because I got to be part of both teams. Now, it's cool when she shares that story at the beginning of the year for somebody else that's now in that role, that she can find something to embrace, like, oh, this is maybe challenging, but here's the opportunity for me to make some new friends that nobody else gets a chance to because of this role. It becomes an incredibly powerful conversation between those two players.
So one of the powerful things about those conversations, Nate, is that you're allowing players to connect in a real way. You're helping them to connect in a real way because they're voicing or they're articulating what is hard for them. You know, I think we as humans, we connect through our struggles, we connect through our weaknesses when we're able to open up and articulate that. And that's what I think is really important about that activity. The other thing is, and I think back to my time at South Carolina when I was playing there, you know, I was the 13th man on that team. And I sat there and was like, man, if I could just, you know, be on the travel squad. You know, I was just always had that mentality of just, if I could just be in those guys' shoes, or if I could just, you know, get a few more meaningful minutes. the same time, the guy that was eighth or ninth in the roster was just like, man, if I could only be the first guy off the bench. And the guy that was first off the bench, he probably wanted to be the starter. And the guy that was a starter, he probably wanted to be the star. And the star just wanted to get his butt to the NBA tomorrow. You know, like everybody's wanting or sees like somebody else or where they're headed and you know what role they have. And they just think that is where I would just be happy if I was in that role. And by articulating our struggles and our challenges, we're helping people to realize like it's not as easy, it's not as glamorous as you may think it is.
Well, JP, I think that's one of the interesting kind of byproducts of this conversation too, is not only is it supportive for the player that has the maybe the undesirable role or the more challenging role or the newer role as a younger player, but it also gives that player some perspective about the thing that they are striving to be, you know, when they're juniors or seniors. In other words, if I have a player that's back and forth between JV and varsity as a sophomore, she probably wants to be in the rotation as a junior and probably wants to start as a senior, as you talked about in your experience at South Carolina. But we don't always look ahead and, you know, understand that, hey, it's challenging to be the first person off the bench. Like there's a role when you're the designated shooter or you're a starter, you know, there's challenges that go with that too. And I don't know that our younger players can always appreciate the difficulty of those roles that they aspire to. And this allows some of those things to surface as well when they're listening to the upperclassmen talk a little bit about what's challenging in their position.
So Nate, I know the next part of your conversation is kind of like your mid-year check-in. That's conversation number three. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, JP. So we have the Christmas break kind of lands in the middle of our basketball season. And so we use a little bit of that time to now have a conversation that is 3-on-1. So 3 players are invited in to sit down with the coach. And this is really just to kind of get the pulse of where we're at the midpoint of the season. And a lot of times when we're scripting who those players are going to be, we try to bring in players that maybe don't hang out all the time off the court, or maybe they don't run together in the same position groups or whatever it might be, so that they have a chance to just hear about the experience so far from some of their teammates that they may not naturally talk to a lot in the context of the year. And the questions that we're really focused on here is just, how is the season going for you? You know, just overall, how are things going? How is our chemistry right now? How would you describe that? One of the questions that we really try to start digging into about halfway through the year is just, who do you think we are right now as a team? Like if somebody asked about, you know, what's the identity of Lindmark girls basketball, these guys would kind of talk a little bit about that in their 3-on-1 about how they see us as a team so far. And we really use that question to try to cement the way that we see ourselves as we go into the second half of the year, not really based on entirely basketball things like we shoot a lot of threes or, you know, we try to run the floor or whatever, but really, who do we try to be night in and night out? You know, we try to be there for each other. We try to be supportive on the bench. We try to have great energy. Those are the things that we're trying to leverage into our team identity as we get into the second half of the season. Now, again, some of these questions are going to seem a little bit redundant here in terms of asking them what they've enjoyed and what's been most challenging or frustrating. But think of the purpose of having these meetings is to be able to surface things that would cause drama. And so if there are players that are frustrated but haven't been able to talk about it, or they're disappointed, or, you know, they've got voices in their life that are telling them they should be doing different things, we're trying to create just another opportunity for them to be able to talk about those things. And that could be from, what questions do you have for me? What frustrations, you know, have you been dealing with here during the first part of the season or what have you? And a lot of times when those things surface, it isn't me trying to solve their problems. A lot of times, again, it becomes this communal effort with the other two players that are in the group, either sharing their own experiences or empathizing with them, so that they feel, again, that they are connected, right? And they're not just trying to deal with these things on their own. Now, the last important question that we always end kind of this 3-on-1 conversation with is, how can I coach you better? And whether that's to the individual, like I welcome individual answers to that, or even in general, how can I coach the team better? I kind of lay it out for them just to say, look, if there was a way or there was something that I could do that would make us better, make you practice better, whatever it might be, I'd rather know that now at the halfway point while there's still time for me to do it, then find out in your exit interview in February that, oh, you know, coach, if you would have done this thing, it might have been, you know, better for us. So if there's anything there that they have that can help me be a better coach for the second half of the year, I want to bring that out as well.
Just hearing you talk about these 2-on-1 and these 3-on-1 conversations has got me thinking about something here, Nate, which is, You know, obviously, you've got some great questions in there, and we're going to put those in the coaching notes so coaches can take those and ask the questions. But I'm just starting to realize one of the things that those two-on-ones do and those three-on-ones do is they help create conversations and teach kids how to actually have conversations. And I don't think that we're having as much anymore as maybe we did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago before phones. I think now when kids don't know each other very well, and they're in a room together, or they're sitting on the bench together, or they're in a locker room together, what are they going to do? They are going to pull out their phones, and they're going to go connect with the people that they feel like they do know well, right? And I think here you're bringing in various peoples that they maybe don't have the relationship with, and you're teaching them through these questions how to listen and how to carry on a conversation that with people they don't know very well, that I think they really struggle to have those skills or even just an idea of what that conversation should look like.
You know, JP, it's interesting that you make that observation, because one of the things that came out in our exit interviews last year when we asked players about, you know, having these deliberate conversations during the year, I remember a captain told me, you know, coach, I don't know if everybody's still being completely honest with you in terms of what they actually think and what they actually feel in these conversations. And I said, you know, Mace, I agree with that. But what I've found is that the conversations that needed to happen were happening. And they may not have been always included me in one of these, you know, formal conversations, one-on-one, two-on-one, three-on-one, et cetera. But they were happening in somebody's car after practice, or they were happening at Orange Leaf down the street, or they were happening on the bus at some point where players just felt more comfortable with one another or with their captains or with their upperclassmen, that they were able to voice the things and talk about the things that were bothering them so that they could be dealt with and didn't bring us down or didn't become a weight that they had to carry throughout the year. So even if I wasn't always part of those conversations, are players being more proficient at having those types of conversations and being more comfortable with one another definitely was another kind of ancillary benefit to pursuing kind of this process through the year.
Now, the last conversation you have with your players happens just before the postseason. And this is an important time. If you ever want your players completely bought into their roles, embracing those, you want to make sure that this happens at this stage of the season. So tell us a little bit about what that conversation looks like.
Yeah, you know, that time of year, the conversation is back to one-on-one. So we've gone one-on-one to two-on-one to three-on-one, and then finishing off the year with a one-on-one conversation. And really, it's built around the idea of, is there anything that would prevent you from performing your role to the best of your ability as we get ready to perform at our best in the postseason? So, you know, whatever that might be, if there's a lingering disappointment, if there's an uncertainty, if there's, you know, sometimes the rotation tightens up a little bit when you get into those win or go home type games. And that's a place to be able to communicate if there's any changes to someone's role or to the rotation or to playing time or what have you. You know, that's a time to start getting them used to those ideas before you get into your postseason preparations. The other thing that I think is really important about that last one-on-one conversation is that we really try to affirm to that player, this is what I've seen throughout the year that makes us better. You know, whether or not they're playing or starting or getting a lot of shots or getting a lot of minutes, a scout team player that is willing to become a different person every Monday and Thursday for us, you know, learn a different style of play, take on a different personality, run somebody else's offense, even if it's only 15 or 20 minutes in a practice, that makes us better every night. And if there are examples where, you know, somebody ran an inbounds play and we jammed it up and won a game because of it, because of our scout team, I make sure to retell those stories in the one-on-ones just to keep reinforcing the idea that you're adding value and that we are better because of what you've done in your role thus far. And in the same way, we really try to affirm them as a person, as a teammate, as a leader, as an influencer on the team. Again, regardless of their role, I know that we've been better this year because of your energy or because you care for your teammates or because, you know, whatever it might be, your commitment to your role. And we really try to value the person. I don't want anybody going into the postseason thinking, number one, I don't know what's expected of me, or number two, there's really no reason for me to be here because I don't have a role here. I don't do anything to make us better. You know, there's no point in me being here. I should just go on to my spring sport or whatever. I want to make sure that they are valued. And we try to communicate that as much as we can in that last one-on-one meeting.
All right, so I know a lot of coaches are hearing this and they're thinking, this sounds great, but how the heck am I going to implement four conversations throughout the year, and it just seems overwhelming. And I guess my big encouragement for coaches would be kind of first, there are plenty of opportunities to make these happen within just the normal course of your season. That's on the bus, before games, after games, in the stands. I know you have some conversations there. You may do it before practice, during some shooting, or just there's just finding time within the normal course of your kind of daily schedule with your team. You may not even have an office to bring them into. So just kind of being creative on that is one of my big encouragements. The other thing I would say is schedule it, right? Like you might have the one-on-ones. Well, just look in, you know, a month down the road, like, is there a week that you have a lot of games or not a lot of games? And how could you just put a little reminder in there, like, hey, this is when we should start to have our two-on-ones, or, you know, in January, hey, this is when we should start to have our final one-on-ones with players, and just putting that on your schedule. If it's something that's important, that's going to help you to make sure that you follow through on that system there.
JP, as we wrap it up here this week, I want to share one more story. You know, part of the beauty of your players knowing that they're going to have these conversations throughout the year, yet not necessarily knowing when they're scheduled, is that you can use that to your advantage when you need to talk to somebody. For example, last year, you know, we had a parent reach out to me and was just concerned that their daughter's confidence was really wavering. And so as I listened to them, I said, you know what? I'm just going to schedule a two-on-one between this girl and one of our upperclassmen that went through a crisis of confidence a couple years ago. And it's not on the schedule. We're not even on the round of two-on-ones. But kids don't know that. So I text them both and I said, hey, your two-on-one's coming up on Thursday with so-and-so. Can you meet me before practice? Both of them can. I talked to the upperclassman. I said, here's what's going on. And here's how I'm going to try to lead the conversation so she can share a little bit about how she got through her crisis of confidence and what she learned from it and that sort of thing. So she was prepared, but they didn't feel like coming into coach's office that it was, I need to talk to you before practice. I mean, we know how that feels as a coach when you get a text from a player that says, coach, I need to talk to you. We start going bonkers, can't sleep, don't know what's going on, cold sweats, right? Well, players respond the same way, but this just makes it seem like the natural course of the calendar. Like, oh, it's my turn to come up. I know there's something we want to surface here. I bring in another player that can speak into that place. And that was a turning point for that player. That intervention changed the rest of her season in terms of her confidence and how she saw her role, simply because we were able to say, yeah, you got another two-on-one coming up this week. Let's see if we can get it scheduled. So don't be afraid to manipulate your players by asking them to come in for additional meetings as you see them to be necessary. Now, coaches, we walk out the door here. If you're interested in getting a copy of some of the questions that we use in each of the rounds, visit Thrive On Challenge. You can sign up for our newsletter there, and every week we will send you the coaching notes from each of our podcast episodes.